Ocean FM's Agri Week with John Lynch.
Hello there and welcome along to Agri Week. My name is John Lynch and hopefully we'll have the pleasure of your company for the next 30 minutes or so. On the show this week, we'll talk to the president of the IFA, Tim Cullinan. Now, in his capacity as first president of COPA at a recent meeting, he explained the situation to the EU Commission about their trade policy, the restrictions on Irish farmers, the impact it's having, and indeed how farmers here need to be protected from Mercosur. That interview on the way very, very shortly. We'll be concentrating on fisheries. The government have recently confirmed that they will recognise the Irish Islands Marine Research Organisation as an EU fish producers organisation. The significance of that will be explained by Donegal TD Padraic McLaughlin a little bit later in the programme. Could there be some good news for farmers in relation to beef prices? The IFA's Brendan Golden, who's the chairperson of the Livestock Committee, will join us a little bit later on to discuss that. And towards the end of the show this evening, we're going to have, well, something different. We're going to hear about a close encounter for a female listener to Ocean FM in North Leitrim. A close encounter, that is, with a ram that was far from friendly. That's on the way a little bit later on. As always, we hope that you can stay with us here on this week's edition of Agri Week.
Ocean FM's Agri Week, number one in the Northwest for farming matters.
Now, last week in a meeting with the Agriculture Commissioner, the IFA President Tim Cullinan stated the importance that Irish and European beef farmers are to be protected from the importation of beef produced under lower standards than EU beef. Speaking in his capacity as the first Vice President of COPA at the meeting, Tim Cullinan said that there was a serious contradiction between the EU Commission's trade policy and their intent to impose further restrictions on EU farmers. The EU is currently in discussions with the Mercosur countries regarding additional environmental commitments. Now, I caught up with the IFA President Tim Cullinan, who first of all expanded on his role as first Vice President of COPA.
COPA is an umbrella group for all the farm organisations in the European Union, and I'm there in my capacity number one as President of IFA, but I was elected first Vice President of that group back last year. So we have a presidency committee there and Presidia, which is a group of all the presidents of Europe. And so we will be meeting on a regular basis. So as well as us lobbying here in Dublin, it gives us an excellent presence in Europe as well, John, you know what I mean, where we can lobby the European Commission and everybody out there. And, you know, it's an excellent platform, and we build alliances, obviously, with countries, you know, similar-minded as ourselves. And particularly this year, as you mentioned already, we have Mercosur there now, but obviously with CAP and CAP reform this year as well. So it's very, very important to know we have alliances with other European countries to get our point across.
One particular phrase, Tim, I've heard here mentioned on numerous occasions over the last number of months, that despite initial assurances that Mercosur wasn't going to impact the beef industry in a negative fashion, it seems that the phrase I keep hearing, at least, is that Mercosur hasn't gone away. And I presume you'd be probably fully in agreement with that.
I would indeed, because actually it was only last week that we had a meeting with the Agriculture Commissioner. And particularly, it was around CAP, but Mercosur came up as well. And I didn't realise it, but it is back up on the radar again. And we made it very clear to the Commissioner at that meeting the consequences it would have for Irish agriculture and obviously European agriculture as well. But then there was a report out yesterday evening where the Commissioner for Trade stated in the Commission last night that the Mercosur countries were willing to come up to the same standards as we are here in Europe. Now, look, I would be very concerned around that. You know, and we can't have I don't think they're going to do that, number one, in the short term. But if you look at it, what the EU Commission now is asking us as both Irish and European farmers to do, which, you know, the Farm to Fork Green Deal and biodiversity, where the call is to reduce the amount of chemical fertilizer being used, the amount of pesticides and more land going to organic farming. So obviously that is a reduction in production and it's going to be more cost on farmers. And the commissioner are speaking out of both sides of their mouth here. They want us to comply with all this regulation and at the same time import beef in from a country that has lower standards than us. And the proposal is for another 99,000 tonnes. And if that 99,000 tonnes is coming into a market that's already oversupplied in beef, it's going to collapse the price. And, you know, John, if we look at where we are here in Ireland, we already have a trade deal with the UK, you know, where they have left the EU now, they are a third country. And in that trade deal, they can regress from standards, which means they can, if they so wish, do a trade deal with a third country to bring beef into the UK as well of a lower standard. So if that were to happen and couple that with another 100,000 tonnes coming into Europe from South America or Mercosur countries, well then, to put it quite bluntly, it would be wipeout for the Irish beef sector.
It definitely would. And, you know, a lot of farmers, Tim, can't get their head around, and you've alluded to it here already, that there's talk about more restrictions and more standards that the European farmers are going to have to meet. Yet we're hearing all these reports coming out of Brazil and other countries where, you know, meat would be produced to a standard a lot less than ours, we'd like to think. But they're cutting down rainforests, which is flying in the face of climate change. There's animals being reared in these feedlots that where the conditions are nowhere near as advantageous maybe to animals as they are here. So why is this allowed to continue? Or can Europe get access to go in there or inspect these farms with the COVID restrictions? Or how is there still a loophole here that could allow beef to come in from South America? Or how is it eventually going to be that tight that no such beef from these countries is going to make its way into Europe?
What's happening here is obviously in a trade deal, and you have the larger countries within Europe would want to do a trade deal, let it be for cars or for buses or whatever. And the flip side of that trade is, you know, that they would take in beef. But you're right, John. I mean, we cannot have a situation where you have a third country importing beef in at completely lower standards than ours. And as I say, this is about a trade deal for countries that's not relying on beef production like we are. I mean, 90% of the beef we produce, number one, has to be exported. We haven't a large enough to the domestic market to consume that beef. So, I am very clear, and a lot of my colleagues in Europe are very, very clear as well. We're not going to allow substandard beef to be come into Europe and displace for the beef that we're producing here in Ireland and in Europe.
Mm. How do you get that message across to the big players in Europe that seem to be putting maybe the cost of commerce and above maybe the health and the consumer needs of people who would be consuming meat in their own countries?
It's like how we do it is like we did again this morning. We reconvened and we had another meeting this morning with the Agriculture Commissioner to put it very clearly to him that we're not going to stand for this. Now, he did engage well with us this morning, and he gave us a commitment. He's going back into the College of Commissioners and put our points across there. So I think he really gets the message now that we are very serious about this, and if we have to ramp up a campaign on this, we will do it, John, because, you know what I mean, as I said, this will be Armageddon. It will be wipe out for the Irish beef sector if this trade deal is to go through.
Ocean FM's Agri Week, where farmers across the Northwest have their say.
Let's move on to fishery matters next, and the government here confirmed that they will recognise the Irish Islands Marine Research Organisation as an EU fish producers organisation recently. The Sinn Féin spokesperson on fisheries and the marine is Deputy Padraic McLaughlin of Donegal TD. He welcomed the news, adding that it's a significant development for the small islands-based fishing fleet in Ireland to achieve this significant recognition. The Sinn Féin TD says the move will allow the group to properly negotiate for fair and equitable access to quotas, more input during negotiations, and be a stronger representative body for their members.
It's really important. I mean, I want to commend those fishers and their families on our offshore islands who have came together to campaign, you know, for this very day where they would have producer organisation status. And this means they've got a voice at the table. This means that they, you know, can have control over the marketing of their catch, and also to have an enshrined place for the island's fisheries. We need to, I believe, allocate some quota to protect the island communities and those who fish from those communities. So this is a step in the right direction for sure. So
the challenge has been posed with Brexit and indeed with COVID has made the industry very, very difficult for those involved.
Yeah, I think it's really important that we work together in the Irish fishery sector, and that means people who are on the islands, inshore fishers, offshore fishers. We need all of us to stand together in unity. The last thing we need is division. So I think that's where you give, in this case, the island fishers or inshore fishers, offshore fishers, a voice at the table, an equal voice at the table. We can manage the fish stock sustainably, fairly for everybody. And of course, then to unite together as one fishing voice in Ireland and to demand a fair share of the fish in our seas from the European Union. That hasn't been the case. So we need unity in Ireland, equal voices for everybody, and then to fight for a fair share of the fish that are in Irish seas out to the 200-mile limit.
Ocean FM's Agri Week, where farmers across the Northwest have their say.
Now let's return briefly to the beef industry and perhaps some good news for beef farmers recently. The IFA Livestock Chairperson Brendan Golden claimed that prices have strengthened in recent days. Just a quick snapshot on market prices will back up what he's saying. Steers are making 375 to 380 per kilogram, heifers 380 to 385. The cow trade has been described as steady, prices ranging there from 290 to 340 for R and U grades, with some higher prices as well. Young bulls, they're ranging from 360 to 380 for R and U grades. Well, speaking to Agri Week, Brendan Golden says these signs are encouraging, but that there's still a lot of uncertainty out there in relation to the beef market.
We are in a difficult period. We have both ongoing difficulties with Brexit, and again, as we all know, COVID is impacting hugely on us at the moment as well. So there, in the short term, we have reason to see a bit of positivity in the last week as prices are creeping back a little bit. We always said that the cuts in the last number of weeks were unjustified because, yes, there is difficulties in the markets, there's difficulties in the markets we're going into, but the retail sector was showing strong signs that the cut was not justified.
Now tell me a little bit maybe what has led to the improvement here. I see from some quarters it's been put down to two things. Somewhat tightening up of supplies in relation to finished cattle, and I suppose the resistance of the farmers in many ways to those low prices is also beginning to take effect.
It is indeed, and in the UK this year supplies are projected to be down by 5%, and here at home Borbia have projected that our supplies would be down in the region of 80,000 head as well, and at EU level it's projected that production would be down 2%. So there is some positives in that. Now again, in the last number of weeks when the price cuts came in, at the same time production costs, as in the price of inputs in feed and that, were rising, and they have risen strongly, Anthony, up to €40 a tonne in the last number of weeks. And a lot of farmers had been looking at the Brexit situation coming into the new year, and they were worried with that. And then, you know, when that looked like it was being sorted out to a certain extent, they might have said, well, we'll chance feed in a few, but the winter finisher has been in serious strife the last number of years, because if Brexit was impacting on us for the last 4 years, and if that wasn't bad enough, COVID hit us a sledgehammer blow this time last year. So people were cautious, you know, coming into the winter, and I think a good lot of cattle are destined to go back to grass that would normally have been fed on in the sheds, but people were too worried after the losses they took last year to go and do the same thing again. So it's looking like the supply of cattle in the short term will be tight, and finished cattle numbers won't increase until we get into the summer and the cattle starts coming back off grass.
And that will come as very good news indeed to a number of farmers maybe who have cattle that are close to being finished and were maybe contemplating whether or not they'd maybe chance going out into the market or hold on to them for another while.
Well, the one difficulty with when you're finishing cattle is that when they're fit to kill, it's hard to be holding on to them for too long because they're costing you money if you're putting in expensive feed into them. But there was a point there where farmers just said, we can't go any lower and we can't take any lower prices because we need every penny we can get. So people did hold back a bit, and I think that has helped us as well to try and, you know, put a bit of floor in the price and start creeping back the other direction again. This week now, I've had people ring me and tell me they've got 375 for steers and even 380 for heifers. And now the costs in some cases are lower, but in general, they're moving the right direction. And that's a positive thing. And it's crucial that everyone, you know, fights for the last penny on it. And that does help us as well at the minute. If you're looking for the last penny, you might get it, squeeze a bit more out of it.
Ocean FM's Agri Week with John Lynch.
And finally, to something completely different. And you may remember how we recently covered the campaign launched by the IFA, which encouraged farmers to erect signs stating no dogs allowed. The campaign is to prevent further attacks by dogs on sheep. Well, perhaps just a little bit like Animal Farm, maybe the sheep have had enough and are deciding to strike back. Here's Niall Delaney from a recent Northwest Today show with an email from a listener that had a close encounter with an angry ram in North Leitrim.
I'll end with this email we got over the weekend, and we were talking last week about the IFA campaign for farmers to have farmers erect signs on their lands restricting access to walkers who have dogs with them, and they're advising farmers, as we discussed on the show, to erect signs saying no dogs allowed following a number of attacks on sheep by dogs. But this listener turns it on its head somewhat. Paula emails us as follows. It's an interesting story. She says, "Good morning, Niall. Last Saturday, my friend and I decided to go for a walk with our dogs within our 5K limit in North Leitrim. And whilst walking along, we came across a ram on the road. And this ram was in no mood for messing about and decided to stand its ground and was not fazed at all. We put the dogs in the lead so as not to antagonise it. I tried to shoo it up the road, but it wasn't having any of it. Luckily, we were by a small disused lay-by, which had a hill leading to a fenced field, but the gate was closed. We managed to navigate the dogs into the lay-by, hoping that the ram would move on. But oh no, the ram then decided it was going to follow us and headed towards the lay-by. With this, we needed to get to safety as the ram was on a mission and we had to run up the hill and climb over the barbed wire surrounding the gate and get the dogs over as well, as the ram was chasing us up the hill. Thankfully, we all got to safety and stood watching the ram trying to find a way to get to us. My friend and I then called our husbands, who drove down the land and managed to move the ram on in their cars. But this thing was not happy and was chasing the bloody cars. My point is, Niall, I heard last week on your show farmers complaining about dogs worrying sheep and how they were prepared to shoot the dogs. But this has to work both ways, as it's double standards. If they can't keep their livestock secured in a field, how the hell can we walk along the road with the dogs in safety? It was one very scary experience and not a one-off either, as I'm always seeing sheep roaming loose. Come on, farmers, get a grip."
So that was Paula's experience, and you know, it reminded me of a song I heard a few years ago from an artist called Dana Lines. The song was entitled Cows with Guns, and perhaps it's a fitting way to end this week's edition of Agri Week. Until we speak again, bye-bye for now.
Fat and docile, big and dumb, they look so stupid, they aren't much fun. cows aren't fun. They eat to grow, grow to die, die to be et at the hamburger fry. Cows well done. Nobody thunk it, nobody knew, no one imagined the great cow guru. Cows are one. He hid in the forest, read books with great zeal. He loved Che Guevara, a revolutionary veal. Cows say tongue. He spoke about justice, but nobody stirred. He felt like an outcast, alone in the herd. Cow doll drums. He mooed, we must fight, escape or we'll die. Cows gathered around, cause the stakes were so high. Bad cow pun. But then he was captured, stuffed into a crate, loaded onto a truck where he rode to his fate. Cows are bummed. He was a scrawny calf who looked rather woozy. No one suspected he was packing an Uzi. Cows with guns. They came with a needle to stick in his thigh. He kicked for the groin, he pissed in their eye. Cow well hung. Knocked over a tractor and ran for the door. 6 gallons of gas flowed out on the floor. Run, cows, run. He picked up a bullhorn and jumped up on the hay. We are free-roving bovines. We run free today. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. They crashed the gate in a great stampede, tipped over milk truck, torched all the feed. Cows have fun. 60 police cars were piled in a heap, covered in cow pies, covered up deep. Much cow dung. Black smoke rising, darken in the day, 12 burning McDonald's, have it your way. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. The president said, enough is enough. These uppity cattle, it's time to get tough. Cow dung flung. The newspapers gloated, folks sighed with relief. Tomorrow at noon, they would all be ground beef. Cows on buns. The cows were surrounded, they waited and prayed. They mooed their last moos, they chewed their last hay. Cows outgunned. The order was given to turn cows to whoppers, enforced by the might of 10,000 coppers. But on the horizon, surrounding the shoppers, came the deafening roar of chickens in choppers. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Guns.